Hi, welcome to The Landscape, a Cranes Cleveland podcast. I'm Dan Paletta. Thanks for being with us. There's good news for those in need when it comes to housing in Lorain County. Greater Cleveland Habitat for Humanity is expanding its presence in that community in a number of ways to help provide affordable housing. Here to talk to us about that expansion is the new president and CEO of the Greater Cleveland Habitat for Humanity, John Litton. John, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. It's exciting.
Before we talk about what's going on in Lorain County, let's talk about you for a moment. You started this job at the beginning of October, but you have a lot of experience in helping people in need. What were some of the things you were doing before you came to Greater Cleveland Habitat?
Sure. I cut my teeth in nonprofit leadership at Camp Christopher. It's a summer camp down in Bath Township. Did that for many years and moved on to be the executive director at the St. Vincent de Paul Society, which is providing emergency assistance to people in need throughout the 8-county Diocese of Cleveland, Catholic Diocese of Cleveland area. And then from there, I've moved on from like dream job to dream job. It's really been, I've been so blessed. So I went on to be the executive director at the Westside Catholic Center, which is in Ohio City and has existed for, 45 years or more, providing food, clothing, shelter, advocacy, housing, and a path to self-sufficiency through workforce development for people in Greater Cleveland for many, many years. And it was there that I really got into the family housing work that we did there. We run a family shelter as well as doing rapid rehousing for families into rental properties. And using funds that we received to pay their rent for the first year, and then also offering services like workforce development so they could, get jobs or get better jobs through that work. And then this opportunity with Habitat came along, and I get to come in and fill the shoes of, attempt to fill the shoes of John Habit, who's been here 11 years and is thankfully staying on as a senior advisor for a while. And has really built this organization from the ground up. I think they were doing a house or two a year when he started, and average about 25 houses a year now throughout mostly Cleveland, but into some of the suburbs as well of Cuyahoga County. We look to Lorain.
I know that most of our listeners on The Landscape are familiar with what Greater Cleveland Habitat does for humanity, but can you give us just a quick overview of how this works? How do you provide housing for people? What's the procedure to get help from Habitat?
Sure. Someone interested, there's a number of other social service organizations that we work with, and people can call us directly to access our services, to apply for a home. But what people often think is that Habitat gives people homes. We are building and rehabbing homes throughout Greater Cleveland, but those are actually mortgages. Zero interest mortgages that families are granted, provided they're approved, have some form of income, and things like that, and so they get a loan that they're going to pay off, and then and through that build generational wealth that probably hasn't existed in their family previously, and so they're able to really actually use it as a form of building wealth. We've probably in the last few years alone, been able to help create almost $3 million in wealth for families in Greater Cleveland.
Is there a particular economic threshold that people are looking for assistance have to meet when it comes to income and those kinds of things in order to participate in the program?
Sure. Families ought to be between 30 and 80% of AMI, area median income. So that's how they qualify for our services. It usually ends up being about 40 or 50% of AMI that the families we serve range.
What are the main sources for funding for Greater Cleveland Habitat?
It runs the gamut of some government-based funding. The Cuyahoga County Land Bank is extremely generous to us. We also work with several foundations that are generous to us. And then, of course, we can't do this without individual contributions. People throughout Northeast Ohio and beyond who give their time, talent, and treasure to forward the mission of the organization. I should add that people give financially, and we also have hundreds who give through volunteering, as you might imagine.
Are the volunteering opportunities helping to actually build houses or rehab the houses?
It's helping with houses. It's also helping in our restores. which are, you know, selling, affordably selling donated furniture and lots of other household items to the general public, including those we serve. And it's a wonderful opportunity to give back there as well. We have some really cool ways that people use their talents to give back, you know, whether it's through a home that they might be helping on. We even have a wood shop that takes some of the furniture that we receive and either repurposes it or fixes it up so that, you know, a table that comes in that might sell for $20 can sell for $150 because it's got a new top and it's refinished and reinforced and, you know, fixed up. We have several volunteers here who make it their specialty. We have a state of the art is maybe not the right word to use, but a really, really nice wood shop that people access and can, that our volunteers access and they fix things up for people.
We'll talk about the Restore in Amherst when we get to the subject of Lorain County, but the Restores in general, I mean, who's the target market for those stores? Is it people who come to look for furniture that's been rehabbed that is going to be $150, or are there things there for people who need to buy furniture for $30?
It's a both and, yeah. It's open to the general public, but often in areas of need at the same time. So anyone could come. It's something I enjoyed prior to being with Habitat for Humanity. And so there are things that are perhaps closer to the higher end, but there's lots and lots of stuff that's very affordable for people to access as well.
John, when we looked at the pandemic, how much did that exacerbate the problem of this housing question for people here in Northeast Ohio?
Well, I said this in my previous role, and I say it here now. Most of the families that we serve were hurting pre-pandemic, and so the pandemic only exacerbated issues. Not to mention, the current inflation issues that have befallen us that just really complicate matters for families. It also complicates things for our construction. I mean, you know, we have some materials that are double the cost or more what they were, you know, a year or two ago from a construction standpoint. So it also challenges our ability. I think we can overcome it, but it challenges our ability to even build and rehab homes.
John Litton joins us today. He's the president and CEO of Greater Cleveland Habitat for Humanity. They're going to be expanding their presence in Lorain County. He joins us today for The Landscape, a Cranes Cleveland podcast. John, there was a Lorain County Habitat for Humanity. They lost their affiliation with Habitat International. There were some questions of impropriety. At what point was it decided that Cleveland Habitat would then make its presence felt in Lorain?
Well, I'm not privy to nor seeking to comment on anything that happened previously in Lorain. What's important is that our international organization saw fit, and our success has been such in Cleveland that we were able to come in and reopen the store there and in time start to build and rehab homes for people who need them.
Is there a question, though, of having to rebuild trust among people in Lorain County and the interested parties who've been supportive in the past?
I'm sure there is. We're having many of those conversations now, whether they're with elected officials, funders, and the like. But I'm happy to have those conversations. I stand by the success we've had in Greater Cleveland with our ability to, generate the funding necessary to build homes. We've had, you know, multiple years of clean audits. Everything we do here is pure and mission driven, and so I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to build trust again in Lorain County.
Did Greater Cleveland Habitat for Humanity have any presence in Lorain County before this current entry, or I should say expansion?
No, there was no. Every affiliate, we call them affiliates, operates independently for the most part. And whether someone wants to volunteer or give or whatever, that giving and volunteerism is directed at the county in which they reside. And so if you know, someone from Avon, say, had wanted to, you know, volunteer or give in Cleveland, they would have been directed to the Lorain County office then. They would now, you know, now that wouldn't be the case because the two have merged. But we usually tried to be somewhat parochial that way in fairness to, the most local Habitat office.
Lorain County is a community that certainly sounds like it's in need of help when it comes to affordable housing. What's the poverty level like there?
There's pockets that are very, very similar to where we have issues in Cleveland. You know, you have just areas of, put it this way, the threshold of 30 to 80% of area median income leaves us with no shortage of families to serve throughout the Lorain County area.
At this time, do you know how many Habitat homes there are in Lorain County, approximately?
I know we're assuming. I don't. I will say we're assuming the mortgages of, I think, a dozen to 15 or so families. So those are families who have active mortgages that haven't been paid off. That of course does not count families who out there who, you know, have paid out their off their homes, of course.
One of the things you're going to do on November 5th is reopen this Amherst Restore. We talked a little bit about what's for sale there, but why is it so key to the mission? Is it more of an issue of fundraising? Is that why it's so important?
So the Restores, in addition to providing affordable furniture for, you know, for the local area where they exist, they also help fund the mission. That mission is the administration of Habitat for Humanity. It's also building homes, of course. So every dollar made goes right back into the organization to further our mission and do more.
Are the stores staffed by volunteers or a mix of people?
It's a mix. You know, you need some professional staff, cashiers, people on the floor. There is a store manager. And then there's going to be, you know, dozens of volunteers as well.
I realize it's still early. Greater Cleveland Habitat for Humanity is just getting into Lorain County. But when I talked to John Habit, he talked about having goals, and you know this, of 18 to 20 houses by the end of the year. Have you started thinking about goals for Lorain County?
I think we need to, you know, crawl before we can walk.
Right.
We want to do this right and want to understand the lay of the land. I don't think we don't want to swoop in like trying to be a savior here right off the bat. I think we just need to learn, understand the history. We do assume several of vacant lots and things like that as part of the acquisition. So there are some opportunities sort of built in, so to speak, that that are homes are places where we could put homes or rehab homes. So there are some low-hanging fruit, but I don't want to put a number to it yet. I'd really just like to scale up first.
Sure. So what about the mortgages that were already in Lorain County? What happens with those people who are already working with Lorain County Habitat for Humanity? Do you just
right? So
them?
Greater Cleveland Habitat assumes those mortgages.
Okay.
And you know, it's one of those things where what I like about the mortgage setup for our families is that we keep in touch with them as well, and can you know, we have no resources that people can access if they need help with certain things, and even if it's with fixing up a home or a little bit more or working through an issue. And so that connection can be helpful in non-financial ways and non-building related ways either.
Do you keep in contact with people? Let's say they're part of the mortgage program and they you know, they fulfill their mortgage and they've now got the house. Do they come back to you and talk to you about their successes and how things have gone for them?
Yes, we've had people come back plenty. We've had a couple instances where people have even come and worked for us. So it's been an even better way to help build the mission. And one piece to this that I didn't mention that I want to make sure people are aware too is that people who get homes through Habitat have skin in the game as well. Not just the mortgage that they're paying, but they put in a few hundred hours of sweat equity, we call it, where they are volunteering on either the house that they're going to buy or in one of our restores or in some way like that. So they really invest a lot in terms of time toward the ability to get a Habitat for Humanity home.
I know it's just a guess, but do you think it would be as successful if people didn't have to participate in that way, if you just said, look, here's your house and good luck with it?
I understand that. I think there's a place for that organizations that do that sort of thing on some level. You know, we're part of an international organization that has a format. That format has worked for 35, 40 years. And so I far be it for me 1 month in to seek to change it.
Sure.
I think in any way, shape, or form, I have an attitude, especially coming in after John Habit, that there's a lot of things that aren't broke, so I'm not seeking to fix them. I want to understand how everything goes through, you know, through probably a year or so before really looking at, you know, some strategic planning work that we can do with our board to see what more and how differently we can do things.
When you look at your day, how much time is spent working on fundraising as opposed to other things?
That's a good question. I'm maybe too new to comment. I'd say right now, at least half my time is at least thinking about fundraising, or talking with different people. And, you know, got to meet with Justin Bibb, the mayor of Cleveland, this week, talking about ARPA funds and other things and where there's some opportunity there. Meeting with a foundation this afternoon that's been generous to us for many, many years. It's as much a meet and greet as it is a request for funding. And then, you know, we do a walk and event every year, so there's preparations for that. We have an incredible development department. Peggy and her team really really do a nice job of putting together events and also cultivating a base of people who just understand, care about, and share our mission with others.
You mentioned you met with Mayor Bibb. How much interaction is there between Greater Cleveland Habitat for Humanity and government organizations?
I'd say it's constant. It has to be. We have a great relationship with Blaine Griffin and other council members in Cleveland, too. In Blaine's ward, you know, we've built and rehabbed dozens of homes. So, you know, there's a constant contact there. I think, generally speaking, most government officials understand that when it comes to bringing people who've never had it an opportunity for home ownership, Habitat for Humanity is the biggest and best game in town. For that, and they know it comes with a built-in name, and it's I think been a wonderful just to see and build and cultivate and continue those relationships with elected officials. I think they see the value in it, certainly, and we deliver.
Finally, I'll ask you, I've always had the good fortune, I've never had to worry about a roof over my head or how I'd pay for it. As you work now and dig more deeply into working with Greater Cleveland Habitat for Humanity, not only in Cleveland but in Lorain County, has it given you a better appreciation for good fortune? Like, you know, you're not sweating it in the morning. You know where you're sleeping tonight.
Well, you know, it's an important reminder to me, and I think to everybody who works here, about how we're all just a few bad breaks away from having some level of need thrust upon us. And for the people we help, it is often exacerbated by generational poverty and, you know, not having the generational wealth that some people have been blessed to grow up with. You know, what I like with Habitat and the other places I've worked as well is that where people lack for a support system that I may have grown up with, we provide that. I'll never forget Father Jim O'Donnell, who is a priest who works here in Greater Cleveland, once was asked how to affect change. And the room got quiet awaiting this profound response that he was going to give, like they were going to write it down and go do it, you know, the next day. But his answer was that to affect change, it takes sustained presence over time. You just got to be there and be there consistently and build trust with people. And from there comes, I think, a level of success and growth for all of us.
Well, John Litton, thanks so much for joining us to talk about Greater Cleveland Habitat for Humanity and now your expansion into Lorain. Great pleasure having you join us today.
Yes, and I hope your listeners come, if they don't visit the Amherst store, visit any of our three restores in Greater Cleveland.
John Litton is the president and CEO of Greater Cleveland Habitat for Humanity. He joined us today for The Landscape, a Cranes Cleveland podcast. I'm Dan Paletta. Thank you for joining us, and we'll talk again soon. Oh, 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 oh